here giving solidarity to the boarding house tenants. Thanks so much for coming along. Well, we called this action because we are in a housing crisis unprecedented in modern times. Yet amidst this, older men are being evicted from 4 boarding homes in Paddington. Shame. So we are protesting to send a clear message to LFD Homes, the developer who bought the boarding houses, and to state and federal governments that this is unacceptable. Selwyn Street is a flashpoint. In the lead up to the federal elections, we demand no more evictions of tenants from Selwyn Street Paddington boarding homes. We call on the Rose Jackson and Minns government to forcibly acquire the boarding houses and to deliver boarding house residents more rights. And we want quality public housing to end the housing crisis. So after hearing from inspiring housing activists, we're going to march up Oxford Street to Moore Park, just near Selwyn Street boarding houses, and we will let everyone know the housing justice movement is here. Before I start, I want to acknowledge that we are protesting on ground zero, the place of first resistance on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. This land was never ceded, always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And before colonisation and the attempted genocide of the linguistically and culturally rich First Nations communities, there was no homelessness. Housing justice is land back and empowerment. Always was. Aboriginal land. Okay, so 32 mostly older boarding house tenants at 58 to 64 Selwyn Street, Paddington, have resisted the breaking up of their community by property developer LFD Homes for over 2 years. When LFD Homes bought the houses in December 2022, tenants and the homeowner community resisted. Led by Area 15, Will Mongravius and Mike Mannix, they showered the suburb with Save Selwyn Street signs and gathered 27,000 signatures on a change.org petition. Mayor Clover Moore, Greens Councillor Sylvie Elsmore and MPs Allegra Spender and Alex Greenwich visited and offered their support. 2 motions for Sydney Council to organise a buyout of Selwyn Street from the developers failed. A determined campaign won the passage of a 3rd motion on council. So Clover Moore requested buyout help from the Rose Jackson Housing Minister. And Coral, here is, if you hold that up, that's great. Here is Rose Jackson's letter in late 2024 saying they're looking into buying the boarding houses. Then LFD told residents before Christmas that they will close the boarding houses and ordered them to vacate by February 1. Then they were given a month's reprieve until March the 3rd, 2025. But in the meantime, Homes New South Wales have been moving tenants out of the boarding houses to public housing and to other boarding homes with the developer looking on. Shame. It was the tenacity of the boarding house tenants, Area 15 and the Housing Justice Campaign that the state government offered to buy the homes in the first place. And so we are here overlooking Whitlam Square because in the 1970s, Gough Whitlam and Tommy Wren's government bought 1/3 of Glebe and swathes of private dwellings for public homes. And just as this is the solution for Selwyn Street, we know this is one of the main solutions to solve the housing crisis now. So now we're going to hear some words from Barry Skinner, who's one of the former Selwyn Street boarding house tenants, through the articulate mouth of Peter, who's been a long-term housing activist. Come on up, Peter. Woo! Barry lived in Selwyn Street for more than 15 years. Welcome, Peter Barry.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for being here today. As Rach mentioned, these are the words of Barry Skinner, they're not mine. But obviously I'm in support of what he's saying. In 2023, when the sale of the boarding houses was completed, there was an expectation among the house residents that a new ownership would resume a continuation of the present occupant's entitlement to remain in the boarding houses and to remain in their homes. The emerging realisation soon became apparent that a new purpose was at the centre of the transaction, and the collective eviction of all residents was to be the outcome, and the boarding houses closed for redevelopment. This was an unsettling introduction to an uncertain future. Accommodation no longer meant tenure with security. Accommodation now meant a removal from all that was familiar to the residents. Envisaged was a nowhere of sleeping rough in doorways alongside the passing foot traffic. If the developers were to achieve their objective, if the proposal soon to go before the Land and Environment Court were to succeed, it would mean less about the knocking out of a few walls and more about the demolition of men's lives. Closure and eviction had now become a collision between the present and the future. Now, no longer the truck driver. Now, no longer the bricklayer. Now, no longer the local postie. All once hard-working men. Now to be anonymous. That accompaniment to homelessness had arrived. Do we now discard these residents as obsolete? Are they to live out their future separated, isolated, and alone? And if so, who are we now as a society? And where do they now fit? The tsunami of gentrification of Paddington has had few rivals in its acceleration anywhere else in Sydney. But gentrification has coexisted harmoniously with the more straitened residents of the boarding houses for many years now. A mosaic of varying complexions, a platform of understanding and respect where diversity is recognised, where over time an enclave never developed and an integration flourished. Where the one-time estranged bricklayer or the now retired council worker or the had enough of driving truckie are all alongside the finance broker, the advertising executive or the business consultant for a couple of beers at the local. That egalitarian leveller and gateway to a recent anecdote or a shared joke. A growing familiarity which is sometimes repeated back home over dinner to be overheard and absorbed by growing children at the table. Lessons for them peeled in real time that form attitudes. Should our emerging young adults here in the neighbourhood be better served not to be exposed to the variation inherent in our social structure? Should they be quarantined from the realities of economic levels? Or should they be exposed to a realisation that it is okay to advance in an environment where difference also has dignity? Where those lessons don't have to be explained, but experienced. Here, down at this end of the hill, we have never been seen as a cohort of shambolic, unruly disruptors, various shades of grey just to be tolerated or worse, ignored. House values adjacent to the boarding houses have never eased because of their existence. Instead, we are seen as a complementation to the changing profile of our community, where the sublime, the ridiculous, and the just plain ordinary coexist in a silent conversation of acceptance. Oh, I'm not finished yet. I'm getting there. Well, where friendships have been forged from understanding the evenness and levelling that is the preferred Australian way of life, a coat of many colours. Our neighbours lie somewhere between concerned and outraged at the prospect of our much publicised eviction from our homes. We, the residents, are mindful of this recognition and are grateful for their participation in our struggle. We all look to our legislators to step up and recognise the benefits to the many of what a continuation of the boarding houses would mean that to us are apparent. Residency here has many dimensions of comfort beyond a roof over one's head and an address for contact. One aspect worth revealing is that for those in advanced years, it means an understanding which travels a journey, one that arrives at the inevitability that life has a finality. Here, there are passings. And when someone moves on, there are the same attendant sadnesses experienced in all our cohabiting. We are a herd species too, and a loss for some can be as meaningful as a death that appears in the closest of families. Here, where family is no longer in the picture, the connections have to be established over time. The trust is generated generally through shared interests. The arrangements are verbal and confined, but still navigated. It could be a wristwatch, a newer television, or merely only some tinned food, but the transfer is acknowledged and the preference fulfilled. However large or small, final wishes are recognised and memories cemented. The outcome carries with it the message of comfort and eases into closure for both. An unknown, unnoticed nuance to most, but this is but one small example of why there should be this stratum of accommodation available in our society. As the housing crisis becomes deeper and inevitably more widespread, should we abandon those establishments or preserve them? And what should the present viability of these boarding houses be a competitor to? Should we not maintain a society comfortable with itself and its values? Where should the threshold be set before, as a society, we marginalise the economically exhausted to a life on the street, where your name and who you are has no consequence and the once next door chat has evaporated because of embarrassment? Or do we preserve a community like Selwyn Street, celebrate its successes and advance its contained message? This is a vibrant, harmonious and stimulating corner of Sydney, a community of many colours, a community proudly expressing its preferences and expressing its feelings. Is the expulsion of the 30-odd residents here the well-established, the well-intended and the well-regarded residents to become the new Sydney? Residents in boarding houses have scarce protection available to them at present under state or federal legislation. Any avenues available to us for the purpose of any mediation are absent, and legislation to protect viable boarding houses like this facility has not been established within any of the three tiers of government. Therefore, does homelessness now become the other side of a development opportunity? Do we deny the established residents their future well-being? Do we overrun their existence and disregard their inclusion in this equation? Do we remove the roof of their lives, replace it with the sleeping bag, and direct them to food bank queue in perpetuity? And if so, what sort of society have we become? The original owners, the Glanvilles, starting all those years ago, put the basics of a viable accommodation business in place and got them right. Along the way, they maintained the structures and established the protocols of a successful accommodation for the residents from experience. Their contribution has some lessons here that matter. The protocols that they established are still relevant and are needed more than ever in these times, and they should be continued. Thank you for coming and allowing us the opportunity to be heard.